thank you again. All right. Moving on, we have a consent agenda.
Move approval if no one wants to go in there.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. That's right. Written communications, and anything you want to call to our attention, Teresa?
I want to mention unique management report at the very end. That's our collection agency, and just it's a real good return on our investment. I'm in party mode. Just gives you the idea of how many accounts we submitted and how many how much we recovered. We recovered over $1 million worth of materials and cash. It's still working for us. They do a really nice job. Yes.
Corbis wrote a guest editorial for the Sentinel. It's not in there. Maybe you could get it in next month.
I didn't see it.
Oh, it was there.
It was there a couple weeks ago.
Right after you told me.
It was on the 5th.
I looked, and I didn't see it.
Yeah, it was there.
I'm sorry. I kept
you got the version that they cut it out of.
They must have, because I went back and double-checked it. So, yeah, sorry about that. We will get that. I was wondering what happened to
yeah.
it.
Yeah, no, it was in.
Well, thank you.
Very good.
Yeah.
They even left it out of my paper. Okay,
thank you.
Barbara, may I have a bag of coffee for the discretion?
Yes.
At a later.
Yeah, I'll get it. I'll make myself a note.
I just want to note the letter we got November 28th from Cindy Jackson. I read it today, and I did ask Teresa for the staff report, which we did in La Salva, their project. But there are several things raised in that I think we're discussing. I'm not tonight by any means, but maybe a couple of could be agendized.
That'd be great.
Buying books was one, and I can't really remember. But there was enough that said, whoa.
Maybe put it on our January agenda.
Yeah, it's agendized. I think if you look at it, you'll know what I mean.
What exactly?
Well, one was a branch being able to buy books and dedicate it to their own branch. That was one that really, I just read it once. I read it fairly quickly, but that was one of them. And I guess maybe the whole other task for the volunteers. I think it sounds like they're not busy enough, and they could be busier, and maybe there's too many bodies there. And we'll have to ask Cindy at some point to elaborate on that. I don't want to elaborate and speak for them, but I just know there's differences.
I think that, if I'm remembering correctly, in our board meeting last month, when we looked at that,
right.
The motion was that we would keep the La Salva Beach pilot project going, with potential changes happening when the board sets a direction based on the report out of the task force. So I think the thinking was we don't want to tinker with a model if it's likely to have some significant change going on after the board sets a direction and when we start to build a system-wide volunteer model. So saying that you want to have that discussion?
I think we should. I think we should because some of those things really will have nothing to do with the model.
Okay.
It's like,
yeah, you know, I don't know. So you
yeah.
Could answer that.
So I think that's a good idea. Let's just put on the agenda and we'll talk about it then and see if there's something we want to do or not, or maybe we want to just wait.
Okay. Got it.
It was just left dangling there, and I don't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And some of it is sort of policy issues like buying books for that branch in particular and that sort of stuff that don't have anything to do with really with the task force stuff.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other comments on written communications? All right. Reports of advisory bodies, so friends.
I'm Carol McPherson. I'm vice president of the board the Friends of the Library, and today in this room there was a group of the board members who had trays all the way around the room and had cookies that everyone had donated and made up these beautiful trays to take to each of the branches. In years past, the Friends of the Library have put on a brunch out at Harvey West Park for the staff, and we didn't feel like we were getting a good cross-section of the staff, so we decided to take Christmas to each of the branches. And so, and here it is, it says JPB on here. This must be for you.
And look who you started with.
Well, you may be the opener.
Over here, that was branch.
Yeah,
there
you go.
Oh, my gosh. And as this is a historical evening, I thought I would add to the history, because I'm also a so when I first came to Santa Cruz in 59, this is the library that I came to. This is the library that was standing right here.
The cornerstone out there.
In case you haven't seen this. And I love this library so much that this hangs over my fireplace. Along with a photo that I found out of Cabela's that shows the interior back in 1905 when it first opened. And it is filled with Indian lore and a lot of Chinese lore. Fascinating for those of us who are kind of history. So anyway, this is the library I came to in 59, and I came there first because I had learned, you know, when you're young and you move from place to place and try to figure out how to connect with a new community, and I had found that I connected through the library. And I brought my two-year-old over and met Dorothy Anderson. Melman Anderson. She was the children's librarian. And she immediately took me into Santa Cruz. And after the second child was born, she took me to Salinas to hear Beverly Cleary and Leo Politi with my kids. I mean, you know, so I've had long affairs with the library. But what happened was that they tried to pass a bond issue to get this building, because this building wasn't adequate. In fact, the lovely Virginia Creeper that is now on Cedar Street Garage was holding the building together. And the Virginia Creeper was coming in around the fireplaces, the two fireplaces. So after the bond issue failed a couple of times, I called the librarian, Geraldine Wood. Have I told this story before?
Not here.
Not when I was.
Okay.
Anyway, I called I wrote a note to Geraldine Work saying, how would you like me to get some of my young friends together and we'll publicize the need for the new library? And she picked up the phone and said yes. And we were off and running. And our first book sale was a new book sale. And it was from Plaza Books. Hal Morris donated, they gave us 10% of the sales. And the other person involved was Peter Demma, which was a hip pocketbook books. Which was quite a place. Guys, it was early 60s in Santa Cruz. So anyway, that's what we did. Peter Beagle put on a children's music concert. Peter is an author now, big author. And Jim Houston came and delivered interesting things to us about writing. He had been writing for Holiday Magazine, and Peter Beagle had been hired by Look Magazine to cover the Poor People's Magazine. So we were literary and young and having a great time. We were very disorganized. We had no officers. We were just an ad hoc committee. But we were the first. And so when I get through this fundraising stuff, I'm going to see that this gets written about, because it's history. Okay, now for my report. Now for the real reason you called me. So Mary Kay Simpson, who was president of Friends of the Library for 3 years, is my cohort. And she is a wonderful person to work with. And the other day, she wrote up a list of our achievements. And it is the larger piece of paper that's in this pile.
We have done a lot since we decided that we would expand fundraising. We had never had a real fundraising plan, but we had survived because there's a membership thing for Friends of the Library. And I got a couple extras. So at the retreat a couple years ago, we decided that we would do real fundraising. And we decided that we would hire a consultant. And the first consultant we had was Grace
Hammond.
Thank you. I'm a senior citizen now. So Grace Hammond gave us a wonderful survey for us to call people in the community and ask them what they thought of the Friends of the Library, and what we found out was that they didn't think much. I mean, not often, because we lack visibility. And so we began to do little things to be more visible. And last fall, we had our very, very first Thank Donors event, and a couple of you went to that. It was pretty nice. It was a place to begin. Thanking is a place to begin. And then just recently, we decided that we wanted to be more visible in the community, so we have now T-shirts that we wear at the book sale. And I think that kind of helps us be more visible. But it's important that we get our message out. So, and then also, when we were thinking about thanking our donors, we didn't seem to have something that really said Santa Cruz Library. And so I asked Teal if he wouldn't make an architect's drawing of the library that I was so bonded with that I, every time Teresa says, this building is getting old, we just built it, and now it's getting old. And anyway, this is a little drawing that Teal did for us, and Teal has been a wonderful board member, and he is recently resigned from the board, but is staying with the grants committee. And we have a grants committee that is new and exciting and going to do something special for the library. So,
and you can't seem to make yourself a
fan.
Sad.
I know.
So, somewhere here is my copy of that report. There it is. You might be nice.
So, not listed here is that first party that we had last October, which was really good. When we got to the point of thinking about having a real fun drive, we're sitting talking, a couple of us, with Teresa, and I said, well, Teresa, what sort of a wish list would you have? And she started in naming off things, and we'd say, how much is that? And she'd go, $300,000, $50,000, $200,000. We were adding this all up, and we finally got to this number, and we went, $800,000. And I can't decide whether it's out of control ego or just a desire to help, but I said, $800,000 doesn't sound very sexy. Let's call it $1 million. So, but what I have since discovered is that I think we almost got the cart before the horse. Because it really takes a lot of structure in an organization to start doing fundraising. And we have a lot of structure to create. For instance, the fundraising envelope is brand new. That was one of the things that we didn't have. Mary Kay said the board members need to have business cards. So she went and got those printed after I had gotten the note cards printed. And so one thing at a time, we're kind of putting the stage together, getting the scenery on, so that we really can launch a real fundraising campaign. So
So I'm here to say that we're not in the middle of the campaign yet. A couple of things that we've done that I think are really important. Finally, after talking for a couple of years about needing a better website, Sherry Scholes, our current president, and Bob Rival, our irascible treasurer, went off to Cisco and upgraded our website. And it's a much better website. We didn't have an adequate database for dealing with fundraising, and it's taken twice as long as we thought it would take, and it still isn't up and serving us, but it's so close that we can almost feel it. So this lists a lot of the things that we've done, and I feel really good about it. It's slow. Sometimes I feel like we're knee-deep in mud, slogging along. But I think we're making good progress. One of the things I brought tonight, just sort of symbolically, is this folder that we're developing. We're putting all fundraising stuff that comes to us, and we're collecting fundraising letters. We're collecting annual reports. People like Sam have been really generous with us. Your Bridges materials have been really helpful. Leona Lapidus from the CASA campaign. They had such a successful million-dollar campaign to buy a house for their organization in Watsonville. And she's agreed to be an advisor, and it has been helping us. So we're trying to put it together. It's not falling yet. And I'll answer any questions you have if I forgot it. What I didn't talk about? The best part of what we have done is we've organized this behind-the-scenes tour, and Teresa leads these tours, and we are making such a difference getting out into the community and showing people what it is that we need. So, and you're good at it. And she likes it better all the time.
Leigh, you have a question?
Yes,
Is there sort of a date when the million-dollar campaign will actually officially kick off, or is that still being...
I feel like I'm in the mud. We want to do our first ever annual report. So it's hardly an annual report if it's done before, so it'll be our first report. and we need a really nice pledge form, and we need materials that we're working to develop. We've had a couple of really nice breaks. Shmuel Thaler has made all of his photographs available to us, and so we're trying to find those photographs that will tell our story and make that be kind of a that a brand. So so the next thing is to finish the annual report. No, we have to send out a letter of permission. How would you like to be listed in this report? And we're waiting for the database so we can send out that letter. Get the information back, revise the list, and so we're sort of in the beginning stage of designing the annual report. We'll send that out. And I think when that's ready and that goes out, then I think we'll really be ready to launch. And I'm not inclined to follow the rules. I'm not enslaved now, so I don't have to confess to problems with authority. But everyone says, you've got to go out and get these great big donations first. And I think it really works for a lot of people. But for me, I see that 2,000 database that we have, 2,000 people who send in their membership money. And there's, of that 2,000 people, we have 300 who often re-up with $100. And Rev Lee just sent us 500 unsolicited. And so we have been living on this lovely little turnaround of membership all these years, and that's a database of 2,000 names. And I think out of that 2,000, I can find 100 that will give $1,000. And I think that would be a real grassroots, exciting campaign. And I think I know who I might ask to do matching. And I know somebody who has almost said yes, that they would be the honorary face of that campaign. So, you know, and it takes a lot of planning, a lot of asking, a lot of dreaming.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Thanks for all your work.
Yes.
Sounds like you have to take 5 steps backwards to take 1 step forward.
It does. Then we dance a little to the side. Thank you.
All right. Moving on to Finance Committee minutes and report. We have the finance reports later on our agenda that we reviewed in the Finance Committee. So I think we'll take it up then. We made no other decisions. We reviewed the finance reports and asked a few questions, which I expect will be answered tonight. And
just worth noting here that we had to the audit that there were at that point no exceptions or outstanding problems of any kind in terms of management issues. They didn't send it back if they had some, but we were unaware of any problems.
Right, that's right. And we'll also be reviewing the audit later. We will not be having a finance committee meeting in December because we won't have reports to look at. Moving on to member reports. Jim, do you have a Scottsdale report?
Not much. The library continues to be on budget and on time for late April, early May opening. They've got the studs up on the inside, dividing the wall between where the library portion and the retail portion is going to be. They've got the studs up for the staff areas and all the rough outs done there. The concrete's been poured and all the knockouts for where the windows are going to go in. So things are moving ahead like they should. And I also stopped at the current Scotts Valley Library today to do some to get some things from the city, and the library director took me into the staff break room, and there were 2 plates of cookies. I should say there was one, because the other one was crumbs everywhere, and ribbons were scattered all over the place, and Gail pointed out they were very, very grateful for that. So, mission accomplished.
Very good. Thank you. Capitola report,
Leon? As you know, the committee in Capitola had put out an RFP to hire a library programming consultant to kind of do a needs assessment, to do a spacing analysis, to do the budgeting, and also a scheduling for us. We got 2 responses. The committee, just about 3 weeks ago, selected Critical Solutions as the desired consultant, which would also include a subcontract with Kathy Page, which did the Scotts Valley Library. So the committee selected that, recommended that to the City Council last Thursday, and the City Council approved it and authorized an expenditure of $47,356 to fund that study. So that work will start shortly at the beginning of the year, and we will have completed the programming phase of our construction of the new library in Capitola. And that concludes my report.
I'm moving on to staff reports.
Okay, the October financials. I was not at the finance committee meeting because I was sick. You wouldn't want me here. I don't remember what the questions were asked. We are 33%, as of the end of October, we were 33% through the year, and things are actually looking pretty good. Sales and use tax was at 34%, and the big change that's happening now is, and Jack can say better than I can, but we used to accrue, we will get revenue, say, for October, would arrive in November, and so the October report would look skimpy. Would lag behind, but they're now accruing back a month, so when it comes in November, they're accruing it to October, so it shows more up to date. So that's why there's a leap from the last one to this one. So we're now 33% of the year, way through the year, but the sales and sales and use tax and maintenance of effort are both current as well through the end of October, so they're 34 and 33% respectively. So it used to be that we were a month behind.
Yeah.
Sure.
Although, in this particular month, we actually got 2 payments from the county. So So normally we would be accruing November back to October, as Teresa said, but in this case we got October as the very end of October, so we didn't have to do that. But the intention is to make the statements more current, at which will also make it easier to be able to show the $500,000 committed fund balance that the board directed we start showing in the report. So all that would go together, and basically you get more current information.
I've got details on some of the lines. I guess there were questions about, and there one that was high, I think, was library facilities management.
Is that on page 52?
I think so. I've got to find the right number. I've got to go across between two different systems here. 53, 35, 15, 52. That's claims management. Equipment, building, and land rentals, and building and facility outside. Building and facilities outside. We've had some high expenses. Aptos, we had a water leak that had to be fixed that required pulling up concrete and never cheap. Live Oak, we have our ongoing issues, which I am working with the county on. Central, we've had, we had to replace the boiler, and now we're having more boiler problems. And so they've been without heat for 2 weeks now here, this building.
What?
Mm-hmm. Did they fix it today? Do we know?
Well,
They were here.
They don't actually know. They opened up the equipment and they put through a series of tests and it worked, but they don't know why it worked. So I would say that.
And this is the new one.
I'm not sure it's the new part that's not working. It's HVAC system. We've got an ancient HVAC system in this building. So I think there's more than one issue involved. And locally, George Wilson couldn't fix this. They called somebody over from San Jose, and that's what was supposed to come today, so that's, I'm assuming, came today. And so that bill just keeps racking up. There's some fan bearings, there was a compressor, there's stuff. And I can tell you that we are also going to have a major expense on the outside of this building. The trees, the liquid amber trees, are pulling the sidewalks up, and we're going to have to replace the entire sidewalk down center, and then the corner, and center and church. And we're working on estimates, but it's not going to be cheap.
So when you tripped and sued the city, now we're on notice to fix it.
Yeah. So we are actually exploring. We've asked the arborist to take a look and decide whether or not the liquid ambers can come out like they did around City Hall. So we're still waiting for those findings and replace them. But if they come out, that's going to be expensive. We're going to take the trees out, and then we're going to have to replace them with something else. So.
And we bought those trees because they were guaranteed to not tear up sidewalks.
See, there's that historical knowledge.
There you go. We're going to miss that. Why that one's a little bit high, and problems can continue to be high, and kind of why we need a reserve. Equipment, building, and land rentals. There's no particular reason why that one's high. I think it's part of it. I think is when we pay things. We also pay for a storage space that we actually get reimbursed for out of a state grant, and so I think that's a lot of what's in there and doesn't show as revenue. But otherwise, everything is right in terms of rental. So I think it's just maybe the timing that makes it look high. I couldn't come up with any other explanation than that. Oh, and the encumbrance is really high. Yeah, the encumbrance is 27,000. Thank you, Kira. So I think those were the. Were there other questions that I missed?
I had a question about on the following page is telecommunications service outside.
Mm-hmm.
53, about 6 or 7 down from the top.
Yeah, that's the new phone system. And once again, you have really high encumbrances.
Okay.
So so we had to encumber the whole year's amount.
But that saves us money over the real
it
quickly,
will.
Right?
Yeah, it'll save us some money this year, some more next year, and then the big savings when we finish paying the city back for the old system that we still own. So, yeah. So, yeah, we're in pretty good shape. Personnel, if you look on page 55, you're right at 32%. We're 33% in a year, so that's good. And page 56, of course, is my favorite. Used to be my least favorite. But the October pool cash is looking mighty fine.
Yeah.
If we
7 months
borrow.
In a row. Positive cash.
So who's counting?
So great.
And then I just gave you the included a copy of the annual certification for the public library fund. This is the 70, well, some years at 70, some years at $79,000 that we get from the state, and that's if our current budget is within 90% of last year's budget, and so Jack has to certify this each year to the state, and he did. So this just means we will get our $70,000 unless something happens at the state level to take it away. Which, golly gee, that won't happen, will it? But we can always hope that so far it's still in the budget, but who knows. So, by the way, that money is should be about three times that amount, but because of the state budget, it is at the level it's at. None of the libraries are receiving their full amount of funding, but still $70,000, so it's nothing to sneeze at. So any questions on the financial report? Let's
get forward.
The audit. I'll let Jack.
Okay. Well, as Mike said earlier, there are no, to this point, and I'll explain that, but to this point there are no audit findings or issues or management concerns on the part of the auditors. I'm qualifying that because we don't yet have the audit opinion. So what you have before you are the draft financial statements for the library. We believe they're correct. The auditors have so far not pointed out any issues with it. However, we don't have the audit opinion, as I say. Our auditors are considerably behind for not just the library audit, but the city audit and the redevelopment audit as well. We've been having a lot of discussions with them. They have lots of explanations, excuses to an extent. They've been bought out twice by national audit firms. So it's a well-known audit firm, Capridge & Larson. They do many governmental audits throughout the city, and in fact, they audit the county as well. And they are way behind. We had a whole series of things. First, they came to us and said, you know, we're going to do paperless auditing this year, which sounds really great. We're doing everything on the computer. The problem with that was, well, say paper, it created all these extra steps and many more questions than we're used to answering. At first, I thought that was great. They were being thorough. We like thorough audits. I mean, they do a good job. But in fact, it wasn't about thoroughness. They were asking questions that just didn't make sense because we'd already done our reconciliations, produced the numbers through some solid processes, but they had to do it their way on their computer. They also brought in green staff, which does not fit the contract, which meant it took longer. They turned their 2.5 weeks of field work and schedule into about 3.5 weeks. They're still asking us questions today. This isn't where we want to be. We've been pushing back. Initially we said, okay, we'll give you an extra week. We can still make that work. But that wasn't enough. And so where we sit, we expect to get the library's audit opinion and the city's in early to mid-January, probably mid-January. So what that means for the library board is you probably won't see the audit opinion until the February board meeting. Again, we're not thinking there's any issue there, but I know it's better you hear that from the auditors, not from me, because that's the role. So we're very distressed. My intention is once we have the opinions, we can't just drop them right now because we wouldn't get our audit opinions without starting from scratch. So my intention is to face them head on and take appropriate action. I guess I don't want to say what that is right now without going through the necessary steps and giving them one final chance to explain what's going on, but basically to deal with the auditors appropriately once we have the opinions at hand.
Okay.
How much are we paying for this audit?
I'm not on the official position on this. I'll just be surprised if they're still here in the queue.
The library pays $6,200. $6,200 for the library. I have no idea what the city is.
Yeah, no.
And this is an audit firm that the city has used for a good number of years in the library, and they have provided good services. They've been very professional. So the past did not lead us to think that that would be the case this year. Thanks, Alex. To the financial statements themselves, there are a number of schedules in here. I think the most appropriate schedules are to take you to page 68 of the agenda package, which is called the Statement of Net Assets. And the way government financial statements are these days, they take you through two sets of numbers. One is what they call full accrual. It shows all the money that the library has or is owed. And on the liability side, it shows all the amounts owed currently or owed long term, some of the longer term debts you have. So that's called full accrual. And it shows at the bottom of the page that the net assets are that the library has about $1.6 million invested in capital assets and about a negative $20,000 for available net current assets. And that, you might say, why is that? Why do we have a negative number? I think it's probably positive by now. It's getting better. But essentially that says you have some long-term debts that you don't have the money to pay it yet. Essentially, you'll be paying those debts off with money you receive over the next few years through the normal course of events with tax receipts. So that negative number will disappear. And you'll see later that it's a lot better than it was last year. If we turn next to the last page, two pages, let's see, page 91 and 92. Page 91 is the combining balance sheet, and this is the more normal way of presenting, historical way of presenting government financial statements, which shows you what you have in terms of spendable assets. It's more of a short-term look over the coming year, and that's what we're used to looking at when we talk about fund balance. How much spendable assets does the library have? And this page breaks out both the operating budget as well as the other special funds that the library has. So the first column has to do with the operating budget, and you can see that at the bottom of the page, well, first we have $119,000 of cash in June. And this, I should point out, these are the financial statements for June of 2010. That's the fiscal year for the library. And we have fund balance of $495,000 at the bottom of the page, undesignated fund balance. So essentially that's the amount of equity that the library has to carry forward for the current year and future needs. If you look at the last page here, page 92, it shows you again for the library operating fund in the first column, near the bottom, that there was a net change in fund balance of $815,000. That means revenues exceeded expenditures last year by $815,000. And it needed to be done because the library started the year, as you can see just below that, with a negative $319,000. So starting the year with a negative number, $300,000, earning $800,000 during the year allows you to have gotten to the $500,000 number at June of 2010, the end of the year. As you can see from the cash balances earlier in the state of the budget, that's continuing to improve incrementally. So,
and I'd like to just make the point that we did that because we still had a 10% furlough of staff and because we had a materials budget that was greatly reduced. So it's not like something we can just continue to absorb. So I just want to run the record for that.
As you know, this was a result of a lot of hard decisions and sacrifices. There's other information here talking about their notes to the financial statements that explain some of the liabilities, some of the receivables, investment policies, etc. But I think those are the most essential ingredients, but I can sure talk about any aspect of this that you might want to know about.
Any questions?
Jack, I had a question under This is on page 92. But under investment income, it shows a loss of $555, $591 total. I mean, it's a, small amount, but I was wondering how we generated a loss in our investments.
That has to do with the fact that there was a negative cash balances in the earlier part of the year. As Teresa pointed out, the last 7 months have been positive, but there was the need to borrow during the early part of the year, so that became an interest expense, and we're showing it here as a negative revenue.
Okay.
But normally, that would be a positive number, and for the current year, that is a positive number.
Other questions? Board, public?
Just in summary, again, we're moving in the right direction here. It's a slow climb out of the very big hole.
It is. We're still climbing. Okay, moving on to other business. The Library Service Model Task Force update. Let's see. Where can I start? Well, let me put it this way. We've gone to weekly meetings instead of 2 a month. Not through the holidays, but in January, and we've had them weekly thus far this month. We've got lots of work that has been done. We have lots of work still to be done. We're currently working on 6 service models that teams have put forward. Teresa has the lovely job of costing all those out for us so we can see where those service models take us. We described those models in sufficient detail to have our consultant, Joan Fry Williams, who's a well-known library futurist, who's done a lot of consulting in this area. She came, had a chance to critique those for us. She was not critiquing the cost side of things. She was critiquing the services, you know, the services that we put in these models and the structures that we have built into our models. She gave all of us, I think, every single team working on models, lots of food for thought. So we're back rethinking some things, I expect. And we will be moving on into more detailed costing early in January. We are moving on to, we are trying to reduce the number of models. 6 is a lot. Our charge was to come up with models. We did not have a maximum or minimum on that, but that were provided a range of approaches and had some significant differences between them. So now we need to take a look at that to say, are there enough differences between these models to warrant keeping them all on the table, or can we merge some of them, compromise a bit, merge some of them, or possibly take some off the table altogether. We're not quite there yet, but we're going to be working on that. And we're moving into the evaluation stage. I mean, of course, that's sort of always there when you're designing something, but we're moving into a more formal evaluation stage of each of those models. Also based on some inputs from our consultants, but on other types of evaluation that we thought we would like to do. So that's not a trivial task at all. And we will be spending some time on that. Anything else I'm forgetting? Alan, Lee, and Nancy are on that task force along with me. Yes, but I will say the task force is so fully engaged that that's not the issue whatsoever. People are interested and engaged and attend the meetings.
The commitment of the task force members is really never seen a test force like this. Now, I need to confess, though, once come January in weekly meetings, I'm in trouble because
know, I've got the Regional Transportation Commission on the same day. I'm speaking to the Aptos Chamber breakfast meeting on one of them. And, you know, so, you know, it's going to be hard for me to, maybe there for parts of meetings.
Yeah, I think we understood that everyone, and probably you have the schedule that is one of the more complex ones.
Yeah, we had it really good there for a while, and then we started messing around with the schedule and it went to hell in a handbasket for me, but it works for everybody else, so that's much more.
I would like to add, I mean, we're still aiming to have a report to the board by the end of January, assuming everything kind of stays on track, so we're going to do our best to meet that deadline.
Right. And we considered moving it. Yeah. We considered moving it, but decided that we work best under the gun.
Hold ourselves accountable.
We still have a lot of work to do. That's all I'm saying. Nancy, anything to add?
Maybe on that last comment. No, I mean, there is a little bit of a debate about moving it out a couple of weeks. I mean, it just depends on if we can get the work done in that time period. If we can't, then it would be more like mid-February. So that's still a possibility, I think.
I think we want to be careful. I mean, obviously, if we can all focus and it can be done, we definitely want to do it. We don't want to give ourselves slack at this point. It's just like, let's keep going. On the other hand, we don't want to shortchange doing a quality job at this point after all this time either. So we'll have to gauge that in a few weeks, I think. Okay? Any questions? All right. Yeah, you're all sitting over there smiling at us. We'll get you on another time. Parking lot list review. Do we have anything?
That was a great advertisement for being on the financial task force.
Yeah. I just noticed that mid-year budget adjustment review is due in December. Didn't happen, folks. But I think the finances are such that I think we're okay. So I don't. It's not quite like last year was. So. And I also noticed that in January we're supposed to do budget projections, and I'm going to suggest that we wait because anything I do, I need the model to know what model are we going for before I can try to do budget projections.
Oh, it's budget projections for coming years, future years.
For 11-12. Either way, I can't really do it because unless we know what model we're using, I can't project for next year or for 5 years.
Mm-hmm. And, well, don't we have those for our current model? I mean, we already have those.
We have the 5-year projections for, and I know they're only 6 months old or something. I don't know when we'll start having data from projecting out to the county. If I have any projected revenues, I can report something, but it's usually more like February before we have that. So. I just, rather than, doesn't seem any point in trying to do something without them.
No, but unfortunately, the reason for having the task force is that the 5-year projection of the current model shows is going down into the hole.
Right.
Non-functional and non-sustainable. Yeah. So you know, we pull that out another time. That's just depressing.
I agree. Right. I think if revenues were to increase in the projection, we'd like to know that. Or if they were going to decrease, we'd like to know that before the models are totally
done. If I have that information, I'll certainly share it. But in terms of last year, I formally did a whole thing on projections and what we needed to include it in next year's budget and all that to start thinking about it. And
I don't think it's
kind of up in the air at the moment. It would be a waste of time. And I'm going to be plenty busy with the model. So. The good thing is that once we pick one, the work will be pretty much done. So.
You make it sound so easy.
That's how I get through a day.
Then she needs to figure out how to actually implement it. Those models. Okay, board self-evaluation. I keep punting on this one, and I'm continuing to do so because I'm fully occupied, shall I say. Unless someone else wants to take that on.
Yeah. That's both.
Yeah.
We're doing fine.
Yeah.
So
everything we're doing fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
John. There you go. Fine. Take it off the parking
list. I would like to keep it on the parking list, actually. But when we talk about it in detail, you can override me. Okay. That's it. Our next meeting is Monday, January 10th, not the first Monday of January. And with that, I'll adjourn and say once again, thank you, Mike. We'll miss you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike.
Do you have contact information for David Colossus, or should I get that to you?
Yeah, he's got it.